So, thank you, Chair. And first of all, let me start off by adding my word of congratulations on your election today. I very much look forward to working with you in what is going to be a busy 6 weeks on the AFA trade side of things. So, what I wanted to do today, and hopefully these screens will fire up in a moment, is to talk you through the results of the to try and set the scene on and also give you the results of the AFA trade at a glance monitoring and evaluation exercise. This exercise has been some 12 months in the planning, so it's always with a little bit of trepidation and pride, and a mixture of sort of trepidation, pride, and also fatigue, I think is fair to say, that we come to this point today. And well, fortunately, as you've already mentioned, Chair, we're in the lucky position that we have had a number of other organisations that have decided to help us with this exercise. So, in the words of the old song, "We'll get by with a little help from our friends." So. The aim of the exercise, you will recall last year that you were chasing up capitals, your capitals, to ask them to fill in an interminably long questionnaire. There were four questionnaires in total. You weren't the only ones doing this exercise. All of you were doing this. There were questionnaires that were addressed to our developing country members, to some of our donor members, South-South partners and regional economic communities. And also, we addressed a case story format to you. Now, we had a very good response, and thank you all for your hard work in getting that response from Capitals. It was slightly, perhaps a little bit down as far as 2013 is concerned, but I think still strong enough to be a very good representation of our members. Particularly proud of the numbers in terms of LDC responses, and you can see also that reaching out to the regional economic communities and transport corridors had a good return as well. And also we had a very good response to the case story exercise. And you'll be hearing more about that during the course of today. Now, whenever we set the theme for the work program and also the global review, obviously it's a little bit of a leap of faith on the side of this committee and the Director General and his staff in terms of making sure one knowing whether or not this theme has resonance with the members. The theme for this year's global review is reducing trade costs for inclusive sustainable growth. Reducing trade costs, obviously that speaks to the trade facilitation agreement and other actions that are ongoing. And the inclusive sustainable growth obviously speaks to the work that's going on as far as financing for development and the post-2015 development agenda. So when we sent out the monitoring questionnaires, it was satisfying to see that this issue of trade costs very much resonates with the membership. And here you will see some of the comments that were submitted back from from respondents to the questionnaire as to why trade costs is important for them. Now, trade costs obviously have many different dimensions. I think the important thing to get from this particular slide is the complexity here. There's sort of three broad headings that trade costs will fall under: getting to the border, at the border, behind the border, both in the exporting country, the importing country. So there's no one definition of trade costs that we were working from. And also, I think it's fair to say that the issue of trade costs as far as goods is perhaps much better understood than there's a much greater literature out there than trade costs and services. One other thing to mention as far as trade costs is concerned is that they differ from something that all of us in this room would be familiar with, which is obviously an import tariff. They differ in a number of important ways. First of all, trade costs can be highly variable. They're linked to other markets. One need only think about the price of oil. Obviously, oil is important for fuel for aviation and shipping. Those aviation and shipping industries are also subject to economic cycles. One need only think of the collapse in shipping costs during the Great Recession of 2009. So they're highly variable. They're not a simple percentage of the price of a good in the same way as, say, for example, an ad valorem tariff is concerned. The transport costs associated with shipping seafood are obviously going to be higher than they are with regard to, say, for example, shipping T-shirts. You don't need refrigerated transport to be able to ship T-shirts, whereas you need it for seafood. Also, they're not administratively fixed by government. They respond to market demand. And so here, if you think about one region of the world, which is perhaps one of our sort of the remotest, the Pacific, that region not only faces high trade costs because of its geography, it also those trade costs are influenced by supply and demand factors, and so regularity in terms of shipping services is a major issue. Then they also run into, and this is not specific to the Pacific, or issues of competition, say for example cartels in domestic trucking. Now, to just prove this point, that trade costs come in a variety of different guises. Here you'll see some of the quotes that came out of the responses to the questionnaires as to the importance of non-tariff measures, which are obviously one aspect to the whole issue of trade costs. And here you can see also that trade costs also depend on the market that we're talking about here. So the comments that were made by Mauritius there are instructive. Now, as I mentioned, trade costs and services, this is an evolving area, I think, of research. It comes out very strongly from the report, and I think Marcus will pick this up in a bit more detail. Just how important the in terms of growth in trade terms, the whole area of services is. And one of the case stories that springs to my mind there is that was submitted by Australia, which recapped on some of the research in this area and also came to the conclusion that further work is needed here. And here this is something that our colleagues from the Asian Development Bank will be picking up on and looking at in a bit more detail in the context of the Pacific and the opportunities that e-commerce may offer there. Obviously, this has particular resonance in a WTO context. We're thinking about the LDC services waiver. But it also has, sort of an infrastructure component there too, whereby if you're thinking about e-commerce, you obviously need to have broadband services. You need to have the infrastructure to be able to connect to services markets. Now, let's get to the core of the issue here. Why do trade costs matter? Well, the research that we came up with and which the bank will echo when Marcus presents chapter two is really comes up to these series of core issues. So high trade costs effectively price countries out of global trade, and I'll come back and give you some examples of this in the next slide. That means that your comparative advantage just doesn't get a possibility to be expressed. It means that you're denying, it's not just on the export side that you're unable to integrate into global trade, but also on the import side. Your firms are unable to access technology, intermediate inputs, a point that Julian will pick up in a bit more detail with regard to connecting to global value chains. There's also an important consumer welfare argument here. You're narrowing the range of goods that are available to your consumers and pushing up prices. And here, it's not just exports, but it's also imports too. I think this slide really shows you the problematic that we're facing here. With on the left-hand side, I think, as you see the high-income OECD countries, the cost to export, and then going down towards the bottom right with low-income countries, obviously LDCs being represented within those figures, facing costs that are some 2.5 times higher on average to be able to export a container. Let me give you some additional figures from the Bank Doing Business Index. You see this figure for low-income countries on the far right-hand side, which is up around $2,500 per container. There are 25 countries that have costs to export over $2,500, and the highest figure that was recorded in the bank's Trading Across Borders, which is a subset of their Doing Business Index, was $9,000 in 2014. You've got 14 countries that are taking over 50 days to be able to export a container. The highest figure there was at 86 days. 16 countries with time to import over 50 days, with the highest recorded figure 130 days. Now, put simply, these countries are nowhere near a global value chain. They're not able to integrate into global markets. That has negative impacts on their economies. It has negative impacts on their consumers. If we look then at what countries are the respondents to our questionnaire highlighted as the most important sources of questionnaires, and this, just look at the top, this is the number of respondents. This is not, the ranking here is generated by the number of responses in any one category. So you can see that partner countries, which is another way of referring to developing countries in the WTO setting, identified transport infrastructure as a critical component. But close behind it, border procedures, non-tariff measures, access to finance, and network infrastructure. The figures for donor responses are lower because there are fewer donors in our setting than there are in developing countries. But you see from the trend there that there's broad agreement. They map pretty well on each other as far as where the analysis is of where those trade costs are being generated. So there's broad agreement, I think, that tells us as to what these sources of costs are. This slide gives you an idea of what the trend is, and again, Marcus will pick this up in more detail. The essential point here to see, and you see the highest, let me just describe the chart in a little bit more detail. Landlocked developing countries at the top, those have the highest figures. Least developed countries is the line below that. Low middle income countries, upper middle income countries, high income countries. So basically, you're drawing that income line, it's going up as the number of days go down. What you see there is that there is a positive trend. The number of days is falling in all countries. However, it's not falling fast enough to be making a significant difference in terms of economic integration. And I think the direction, the key point to make there is the direction of travel is good, it's the speed which is the issue. Now, with regard to some of the analysis that came out of the responses with regard to what reducing trade costs can mean in a sort of an economic sense, and looking at some of the analysis of what have been successful aid for trade programs. Here, this chart gives you an idea of who has reported positive outcomes from aid for trade programs. From the various questionnaires that have been that were submitted, the blue line again is partner countries, yellow donor, South-South, and regional economic communities. And here you see, obviously, the reduction in border clearance times. This is perhaps a bigger subset than just simple trade facilitation agreement implementation. But it feeds into the analysis that my colleague Sherry Rosnow will give you this afternoon. You see also increase in export volumes, increase in customs revenue. That's important in the context of the financing for development agenda. And you see also the increase in import volumes, again, which has important consumer welfare, has important producer welfare effects. Let's go on to the next slide. Now, this we asked countries to ask respondents to give us the actions that they thought had the most positive results in terms of their impact, in terms of aid for trade support that they'd received thus far, and encouragingly, again, we have customs reform coming out highly. Obviously, this is a broader issue than just trade facilitation agreement implementation per se, but it is encouraging in that context of TFA implementation. Again, transport infrastructure, network infrastructure, ranking highly there too. And, Chair, with regard to this penultimate, this is now the penultimate slide, I think it's also encouraging in terms of what respondents said that this could mean in the context of the inclusive sustain in terms of the contribution to inclusive sustainable growth. This is obviously the core concept in the post-2015 development agenda and the financing for development discussions. And it's clear here that reducing trade costs for a number of different reasons, whether it's increasing exports, the employment effects, which obviously then translate into poverty reduction as well, diversification, foreign direct investment, all of these reasons were registered amongst the respondents to the questionnaire as being of importance for meeting that target of inclusive sustainable growth. And Chair, the last slide here, this gives you an idea of a world, this comes from the World Economic Forum, and what they did was look at projecting the GDP gains from reducing trade costs. The reduction that they thought was, that they modeled was reducing the trade cost to halfway towards the regional average. What the what you can see from this map of the world is the darker the shading, the higher the gains in terms of GDP growth. And you can see also those big blue lines, those big dark blue lines, show important increases in terms of exports and imports as well. So, Chair, with that, that concludes our presentation. I think just to recap on some of those key issues, high trade costs currently are pricing many developing countries out of global markets, with important negative impacts in terms of export growth, trade integration, and economic development. Thank you, Chair.